It's 7 minutes to seven. Can mindfulness really help teenagers with their mental health? We will have an evidence-based answer in 7 years' time at the end of a study that's just been launched by the Wellcome Trust. But the idea of becoming more aware of the present moment has caught on. One 12-year-old who's used mindfulness techniques is Patricia from the UCL Academy in London.
At the end of year exams, they were quite... How do I say this? They were quite, like, tense and... It felt really real. So I just, at the beginning of each exam, I would do like a Fofbok, which is feet on floor, bum on chair, or a 7-11. So you just breathe in for 7 counts and you breathe out for 11. And it really calmed me down and it prepared my mind and it really got me in the present moment.
Well, joining us now from Oxford is Willem Kuyken, Professor of Clinical Psychology at the University of Oxford and Director of the Oxford Mindfulness Centre. Good morning.
Good morning.
Explain one of the techniques you mentioned there, the Fofbok.
Yes, it's a very simple technique where you invite children to bring their attention to their feet and their bottoms. So it's feet on floor, bums on seat. So it's a playful way of training attention whereby people can take their attention away from worrying thoughts like Patricia was just describing about her exams and actually bring them into their bodies.
And these are techniques that are being used in schools at the moment. How widely?
It's a program that was developed about 7 years ago by Richard Burnett and Chris Cullen, and it's been through many iterations to make it as acceptable and as tractable as possible in schools. So I'd say it's just at the beginning of being used. And what this program of research funded by the Wellcome Trust is setting out to do in the next 7 years is to ask some really fundamental questions about mindfulness in schools.
Fundamental questions about its effect, because is it fair to say that these are techniques that are widely used, but we do not to date have the evidence that they work in terms of teenagers' mental health?
In terms of teenagers' mental health, I would say that there is preliminary evidence that this is an acceptable and tractable way of working in schools, and we have promising evidence that it's effective. But what we really need now is a large-scale, properly designed trial to more definitively answer, does it work in terms of promoting resilience, reducing risk, over longer-term follow-ups?
And how would you test that? How would you know at the end of a period of following teenagers that they had become more mentally resilient?
Well, the gold standard that one uses is a randomized controlled trial. So we will recruit nearly 7,000 children in the next few years and randomize them either to the mindfulness training in half the schools or to good practice in the other schools. Those in the mindfulness training will receive the kinds of training that Patricia had. It's embedded within the school curriculum, so it's over 9 weeks. And we will then follow those children up for 2 years and see how they're doing. We'll look at how they're doing in terms of teachers' ratings of their strengths and difficulties, the young people's reports of mental health problems, and the young people's reports of well-being. We're also interested in some sort of wider outcomes, if you like school climate, classroom climate. And really, what's very interesting about this, we'll also be looking at teachers. One of the analogies that's sometimes used is for teachers to be able to teach this in schools, a bit like teaching a musical instrument. The teachers themselves need to actually be proficient in the musical instrument to teach it to others. So we actually begin with teaching the teachers mindfulness so that they can deliver it to the children.
Professor Willem Kuyken, thank you very much.